Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you now be ready to hear the words that God has for us. Lord, we just pray that you fill me with your Spirit, that the words that I have are not the words that I want, but the words that you have for us today. Open our hearts and minds to hear those words. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We talk a lot about light during the Christmas season, don't we? We plan our Christmas lights, whether it's on the trees in our house. We might even plan out on the, if we don't put Christmas lights on the outside of our house, we make sure that the lights on the outside are set on a timer, or we make sure to turn them on and off because the light is at a premium at this time of the year, isn't it? Christmas lights are just everywhere. It gets darker so much faster now, doesn't it? You know, I remember hanging outside playing basketball with my kids at 9:30 at night just a couple weeks ago. It seems not that very long ago, does it? But, you know, could you imagine doing this right now at 6:30? Not without Paul's construction lights out there. We can't do that. But you know what? Things change. It's darker now. And I mean really dark. It gets dark by 5:30. It was almost pitch black out here as you were coming in, wasn't it? You see, darkness can be pretty depressing. But not always. See, I remember a trip when we went to Florida a couple years ago. And we went to this place called Disney World. Anybody ever heard of that place? Yeah, we've all heard of that. And I had a couple kids, a couple in particular, that really wanted to ride this particular roller coaster. You know the one. It's called Space Mountain. Anybody heard of that one? It's in the dark. Why anybody would want to ride a roller coaster that's completely in the dark is beyond me. But you know what? There are some lights in there. But, you know, they convinced me. They said, okay, Dad, let's take this roller coaster. It's going to be lots of fun. So we did. We rode this Space Mountain roller coaster. And it's dark. And we're going up and down. And left and right, we're being pulled. And you never really knew which way you were going because it was dark. It was very dark. And all of a sudden, you know, I had no idea which direction we're going. But all of a sudden, something changed. We stopped in complete darkness in the middle of the ride. And I knew that was not what was planned for this ride. We waited a minute, and all of a sudden the lights came on. And that's what we saw. It wasn't the Disney glamour, the Disney glitz that we expected. You know, isn't everything about Walt Disney World about flash and excitement, colors and light? Brightness and flash. And we get off and saw that. Not the Disney experience, right? But you know what? That reminds me a lot of the light of the world, our Savior's birth. You see, when Jesus came to earth back then, people were expecting a Savior. Flash and glitz, glory and power and might. They were expecting a Savior to deliver them from the Romans. And what did they get? A little baby, born in a manger, in a stable. Not exactly the power, the glory, and glitz. You see, light and Christmas are a pretty powerful combination. Take tonight, for example. We're all gathered here. We're ready to light our candles. Have this really neat display of light around. We have the lights dimmed right now. We can celebrate with the wreaths and the lights on the tree. Lights and Christmas are a pretty neat combination. I'm guessing that at some point over the last week or two, you may have driven around town and seen some of the Christmas lights that are around. Maybe you drove down Textile Road on the west side of town, saw that really brightly lit up house, similar to this one, even more so maybe. Maybe you're going to do that after church tonight. If not, I'm guessing that almost every single one of us will conclude the night tonight around a Christmas tree, getting ready, whether it's tonight or tomorrow morning, to open some presents with family. But around a nicely lit Christmas tree. Am I wrong? Is anybody not going to be around a Christmas tree tonight? Although, you already started. We've got one here. So you really can't argue with that one. Have you ever stopped to think, though, what Christmas would be like without light? What would it be like if we celebrated Christmas without any lights? Would the season be the same if there weren't all the light displays around? If they weren't in the neighborhoods, if the houses weren't decorated, the garages weren't trimmed with lights, if we didn't go to the stores and see the Christmas decorations here and there, if we didn't fill the branches of a Christmas tree in our houses, would the tradition of bringing a dead evergreen into our living rooms be the same? I'm thinking not. Would the light in our faces, the glow in our hearts, be just as bright if there were no Christmas presents waiting at home, kids? Would the mood of this worship service be different if it were a service of darkness as opposed to a service of light? What if we tried to celebrate Christmas without the one true light of the world, the light of Jesus? Let me put it another way. Would we be able to find just as much joy, excitement, warmth in this season by lighting candles, wrapping gifts, decorating trees, homes, and bushes, even if Jesus never came to earth? Could we do that? I hope we can't, but our society's starting to, aren't they? Let's probe a little deeper into the depths of our hearts here. Would we be just as filled with anticipation, overflowing with joy, beaming with excitement, even if we didn't have all those other images of light, but we still just had Jesus? No presents, no Christmas tree. Could we still be just as excited about tonight if we didn't have all those things? You see, the answers to these questions are pretty important because they reveal where our true joy is, where our true excitement is this Christmas season. Our answers to these questions are important because they evaluate how well we've done in resisting the temptation of succumbing to the traps of society. You know, there's a lot of inconsequential peripheral activity that we miss out on the meditation and true meaning of this world, of the true meaning of this Christmas season. We need to constantly ask and answer these questions as a true test of our hearts to see if we're drowning under a sea of sentimentality or just tradition or just getting ready for the regular things of Christmas and forgetting that the light of hope and the ray of love beaming from our Father's face is that baby Jesus born in that manger. If we answer all those questions truthfully, we do have to admit that there have been times that we've fallen prey to the assaults of materialism, don't you think? These attacks are launched often at the time of the year with the common refrain, you want, you need, you gotta have. If you haven't heard it from your kids, you probably heard it from yourself, thinking about what you need to have, what you've gotta get done, what you've gotta be before tonight is over. I have to admit, I've fallen prey to it. How about you? Have you? You see, the angel of darkness, Satan himself, rejoices when he succeeds in getting us to utter those words, I gotta have, I really need, instead of remembering the true light and the true meaning of Christmas with the seemingly important, the supposedly urgent, the sappiness of the society's sentiments and the trappings of tradition. We all get caught up in it, don't we? You see, in the midst of our self-chosen darkness, though, the light of God's undeserved love shines down in the simpleness, the basicness of a baby. The Son of God, who could have sat on his throne up in heaven but chose to come down as a baby to die on the cross for you and for me. He still beckons us to the manger to behold his lovely face. There it happens, just as the prophet Isaiah foretold, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The light has dawned on us. We are those people. You see, with longing our eyes, our focus can return to this baby. And in him, in his face, we see the brightness and the dawn of God's love, his love on us in the horizons of our hearts. This baby boy reaches out his hands to touch us, to look at us, to bring us closer to himself. As we come closer to the light of his presence, his mother says, this is Jesus. His name shall be Jesus, the Savior of the world, because he saved us, his people, from our sins. No longer should we live in darkness, because we are the children of the day. God is here among us. He has come to meet us. He came to die for you and for me. He has come to save us, and the angels are singing, rejoicing in heaven. The shepherds are rejoicing. The everlasting light fills us with his light, his love, and his love light. If you've been part of the Cross and Resurrection, the last couple weeks you may have been participating in the Celebrate devotion series. And you know what? The last couple weeks we've all been challenged to do acts of service, acts of piety. Have those been exciting? Have those been interesting? Have you looked at them and done any of those? You know what? Tonight, the devotions run out. There's no more suggested acts of piety, acts of service. But don't let that stop you. Let this be an encouragement to you to continue on in these acts of service. Look for opportunities. You know, as you look through those acts of service, one of those opportunities was buy a gift card for an area department store. As you walk out, hand it off to somebody. You don't know how God could work in the life of that person. You don't know what that person needed. You don't know how God could be using you to be his instrument. Another one of those seemingly corny ideas, grab a stack of 10 single $1 bills. Go into a dollar store and tape them to a bunch of $1 pair of socks. Think that might be blessing somebody that could use a couple pairs of socks? There's a lot of different ideas in that book, but let me encourage you not to stop with these things. We can be lights to the world. You know, sometimes the light isn't as exciting as it might seem to be, but we don't know how God could use us to bless those around us. Ask God to use us to be his lights to the world so that we can be that flash and glitz that Disney desires to have, but to be used as his instruments to the world. You see, this night before Christmas, on Christmas Eve, it's special for each one of us, isn't it? Not just because this holiday is wrapped up in tradition, with ritual, decorated with ribbons and Christmas ornaments and the presents that you kids are waiting for pretty soon, right? But it's special because we can celebrate the hope of the nations. We can celebrate this little baby boy that was born not with glitz, but as a special light to the world. He sets our hearts on fire to follow him. May that light, the light of Jesus Christ, shine with radiance in our hearts tonight and tomorrow and the day after that and continually. Don't let that light be covered up. May we all be his instruments, his light to the world today and always. Amen.